So that was the news. It's currently 10:04 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, which means it's time for the CO show. Joined right now by Commanding Officer of Diego Garcia, Captain Wilson, as well as some guests, very special guests from the clinic. We always start off the show with announcements from Bravo Zulu, so over to you, sir, for that.
All right. Thanks, DJ Brandog. Good to see you behind the mic, and as well as we got a newcomer in here. We'll get to know her in a little while as she continues to get trained up, and I'm sure she'll get in a show here soon. Yeah, Bravo Zulu's and great jobs. I want to say send out to the ship store for a great job of getting inventory done so quickly and thoroughly and getting open, because there are a lot of people waiting to get back in the ship store and get their foods and their fresh fruits, vegetables, but really always a great job by the ship store. Also, I want to give a shout out to the NSF admin department for all the work they've been doing, especially over trying to make sure that everyone's being taken care of during the delays of aircraft and everything else that has been going on, and make sure we're taking care of people. So big shout out to them as well. As far as announcement is concerned, lots going down, actually. I'll first start out with what's down the pipe is, just to keep it on your horizon, is next Friday will be Captain's Cup on the 19th. But coming up quickly is going to be this weekend, which is we're going to have the tip-to-tip bike race. So everybody's going to get on the LCMs, get over to Plantation, and then ride the 37 miles through sand and mud and dirt. You won't see me doing that. But either way, there's some people that like to do that stuff, so they're going to jump on the LCM. Remember, this Friday is the safety brief. And then you guys will be doing the whole thing early morning on Saturday. Also this weekend, we're going to have the USO or AFN, or not AFN, MWR network is going to bring in the some entertainment. So Dueling Pianos will be here for the weekend, and we're going to have steak night on Saturday, which will not be at Jake's, but will be inside the Island Room this week. So remember, get out there and see those Dueling Pianos and get a steak, as well as you're looking at the brunch for Mother's Day this week. And I hope you haven't forgotten Mother's Day and you take care of that already. If not, we do have internet, so you can go get those flowers right away. So just remember to get it in there. The Mother's Day brunch will be at the O Club this week. So there's a lot of MWR announcements and a lot going on this weekend. So look forward to seeing everybody out there and about the island. Now, I do have some very special guests into the studio to talk about this week. Is a special week for one of the career fields here, and also for one of our major tenants. This is going to be this Friday. We'll be celebrating the Nurse Corps birthday. How many years is it?
115
years of the Nurse Corps. Yeah. So this week we're celebrating nurses. So I have three of the island's nurses here. They span a wide range career of serving the Navy and in other fields in the either in local law enforcement or support in the Navy in other ways. But either way, they have a depth of experience and knowledge, and we're bringing them here to say thank you for what they've done in the past and currently do for the installation and keeping us well and saving lives. We'll start off first with the clinic OIC, Commander Jeff Miles. Welcome, Jeff.
Welcome. Thanks.
Good to have you. Jeff is coming close to the end of his time here at Diego Garcia. I think he's counting down somewhere around 43 days or something, somewhere close to that. But either way, Jeff started in the Navy, and he's been invested in the Navy since the 90s, right, Jeff?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Start coming here from Virginia, and then joined as a corpsman, and then man, it just kind of stepped off out of that. He got out for a little bit, got his degrees, and next hey, I'm gonna go back in and serve in different ways. And he's been part of all over the world, quite a couple locations, but some spent a lot of time with the Marine Corps, which is usually the case for the nurse for both the corpsman and for the for nurses. So you've been Cherry Point, I thought it was very interesting, USNS Comfort, but during the Haiti response.
Correct. We went down for the entire mission. 45 days we're there, and direct patient care for all the, you know.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with that that period right there, that's when Haiti went through a massive earthquake, almost total destruction of the nation, and the U.S. went down with numerous ships in order to support. It was a massive mobilization to support that country, and Jeff was one of those members. Later, I got into the into surgical services, and but then you found your new home in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So spent a couple times there as a department head, and then also an officer in charge there. And then, but what was your centered job when you were in Jacksonville?
Mainly nursing administration. So I ran in the branch clinics. We had 5 clinics across 2 states, 680 people. So that was a big task as the associate director for clinics and operations for the command, so or the enterprise. So that's probably the most busiest and the most rewarding that's been throughout my career, is that large group of people.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely can see that. And then you continued on, and then what we'll see in here is a lot of emergency services and support to local communities that the Nurse Corps has provided. And especially you'll see in the backgrounds of each one of these fine officers is support to COVID along the way. And then, of course, they're all here supporting us. So officer in charge of U.S. NMRTU, Diego Garcia, which is a debt from Yokosuka Hospital in Yokosuka. Well, thanks, Jeff, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Next, what we're going to talk about is the newest member to the nurse team here on the island is Lieutenant Commander Caitlin Workman, which is, my favorite person here because she's from Maryland. And, welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Go Terps.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I'm a Terp fan, but that's okay. The other thing is you have the same name as my daughter, except for it's spelled with a Y instead of, I don't know why people keep changing these things around. It's the same pronunciation, but it's okay. Caitlin is Caitlin, right?
There's only one right way to spell it, sir. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, we're just agree to disagree there. All right, yeah. Went to school in Tennessee from Maryland, so I don't know why you're a Terps fan because you went to Tennessee, but we'll talk about that later. And became a nurse out of college there, and then began to work in Tennessee there for a period of time, and then moved into the Nurse Corps soon after, and then started getting into pediatric inpatient. Well, how was that? That sounded like a lot of hard and fun at the same time.
Yeah, I would have to say pediatrics is absolutely my favorite because kids are they're so resilient. They're great patients. They're a lot of fun, and they keep you young, keep you on your toes, and it's, yeah.
Or they make you older really quick.
Well, that's if you have them, sir. I got to leave every day.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah, okay. So, no, that's great. And qualified in pediatric nurse certification and pediatric intensive care unit there. And then soon you, too, found yourself onto one of the USNS ships, hospital ships, the Mercy there, for a Pacific partnership later on, doing the same job for pediatrics. Later, you were able to move on and get into clinical care at Great Lakes, and also working on additional studies and education, right?
Yes, sir. So I got my master's while I was in Great Lakes. I was working in the treatment room, the clinic there. So, saw a lot of people come through boot camp, took care of them, got them back out. But, clinic life was not, it was a little more slow paced than the critical care. So I was able to get my master's done while I was there as well.
Yeah, stay busy in different ways, huh?
Yes, sir.
Then you start island hopping.
Yep.
Started moving around. Went over to Guam for a period of time, but then got deployed to Kandahar, Afghanistan in 2016. A Role 3 multinational medical unit. What is a Role 3?
So a Role 3 is it's a hospital where we can offer surgical services and specialized services. So we had neurosurgery there. We had orthopedics there. We had then your general surgery. So we were able to take care of a lot of people that were coming to us from in country.
Right. So you moved on into the Fleet Surgical Team 3, critical care nurse. Is that also a Role 3 or is that slightly different?
Slightly different. So it's a little bit less. So it's about Role 2 plus is what we call it. We kind of bring surgical services aboard ships, mostly the amphib ships, so your LHDs, LPDs, And then we can kind of deploy anywhere that the Febron needs us to go support mission.
Okay. So later on in your career, you moved on and started supporting the Marine Corps out there in was it Pendleton or?
I was in Lejeune, sir.
In Lejeune, okay.
Yes, sir.
It was in Lejeune. And working with the Marine Corps there for a period of time before you eventually made your way here to DA Garcia. So we'll get into the, you know, we see a common theme within the career fields of each one of you. And, you know, we've had corpsmen, you know, MASH chief or the CMC was here, he's a corpsman, come through, and they all seem to eventually touch the Marine Corps at some point. And each of you have done it at different times in your careers.
Sir.
Well, welcome to the show, Kaylin.
Thanks, sir.
And then also we have Lieutenant Josh Jones, Navy Corps. He has a very interesting career field and an outstanding mustache.
Well, thank you.
Well, appreciate it. And yeah, welcome to the show. And, you know, we're talking about where everyone's backgrounds are and how they've come to this location here on DA Garcia. You started out after graduating high school and became a sheriff. Is that right?
Correct. I was a Kern County Sheriff's Patrol Deputy for 3 years before I joined the Navy.
Yeah, Bakersfield, California.
Correct.
Yeah, what made you want to do that? Just
So most of my family is in law enforcement. My dad's a police officer. My uncle's a police officer. Grandpa's a police officer. So it just kind of runs in the family. So it seemed like the next logical transition.
Yeah, and then you made the next transition to become a corpsman.
Correct.
Right? Yep. And then got into, got qualified there and then moved into, but almost very quickly moved straight into the nursing corps. Is that correct? How quickly was that transition?
Yes, sir. So I was actually only in the Navy for 1 year and 8 months when I got selected as an officer candidate. So it worked out pretty well. It was quite fast.
Yeah, it seemed like it. But then you started to move around quite a bit, but you never really left Southern California, did you?
So I went to the school on the East Coast. I went to school at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. Then I moved back to Camp Pendleton, did 3 years there. Then I moved back to the East Coast again and did 3 years in Portsmouth and then came out here.
Yeah.
So I've been coast hopping for.
Yeah, but you've been coast hopping, but you spent a lot of time there.
And, oh yeah, sure did.
And San Diego and sure Pendleton and everything. But no, yeah, and you, like you said, you went out over to Norfolk for a period of time, where you really dug your feet in into the in Portsmouth as far as the critical care department, and then you too found your way in onto the USNS Comfort. But was that during the COVID time or was that a different time?
I was during COVID. So when the Comfort went up to New York to support the mission up in New York, I was currently deployed to Jacksonville with Commander Miles EMF awaiting for a mission tasker. And then we got redirected up to the Comfort to help support that mission once they started taking COVID patients aboard.
Yeah. And so after this, you are now selected to go serve with the Marines.
Correct. I'm going to be going to 3rd Medical Battalion with the Marine Corps out in Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii.
Another island.
Another island.
You guys and your islands, I'll tell you what. No, it's great. Fascinating career fields for all three of you and definitely different paths, but very, very similar. I mean, you'll see that through Navy careers. But what I find interesting about each one of those is how you guys will find your niches in certain areas. Because when we start talking about why you're in the studio today, we talk about what the nurses do, not just for the Navy, but for the nation and the world in general. So one of the things that I started looking at as we preparing for today is, you know, what is a nurse? And you Josh, you decided to go from being a cop to being a nurse. So what made you want to do that?
So it was kind of an interesting story.
Police officer, I shouldn't say cop.
Yes, sir, police officer. So my second year on duty, I was actually injured pretty severely in the line of duty. And the nurses while I was in the hospital made a huge impact on me. And I had always thought, you know, if I'm ever going to do anything else, it's going to be in medicine. And I was laid off from the sheriff's department in early 2010 when California was going through a pretty big budget crisis. So I was like, you know what, let me try to be a nurse. It was too expensive to go to school. So I joined as a hospital corpsman instead with the goal of applying to the nurse corps later on. And I was lucky enough to get selected into MESEP in 2012.
What's MESEP?
Medical Enlisted Commissioning Program. It's the pathway for enlisted sailors to be able to commission as a Nurse Corps officer.
Okay. Yeah. I don't, you know, one of the fascinating facts about the medical industry is that nurses make up the largest share of medical professionals inside the medical industry. So it's, but that's a fascinating story to go from being a police officer to then Navy corpsman and then off to be a flight nurse. Because that's you are technically, as you did, you're a flight nurse, right?
Correct. So my primary designation is critical care, and flight nurse is a secondary additional qualification.
Yeah,
so.
But did you come in as a flight nurse, or did you come in as a critical care nurse?
So I became in as a nurse, and then I got board qualified as a critical care nurse. It involves taking a long test and working so many years in an ICU. And then after that, once you become a critical care nurse, then you can apply to the Navy to become a flight nurse, and then they send you to flight school after that.
Okay. What, flight school?
Or flight nursing school with the Air Force. We don't fly planes. We're not that cool.
No, they had to let you. What'd you go fly? What were you able to go? What are kind of aircraft you get into? 238s?
We were on the C-8 and the C-130.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was boring.
just big boats, basically, sir.
No, that's great. That's great. But yeah, that's why y'all get to wear flight suits and brown shoes. I love it. Yeah. And then, Caitlin, your background is very similar in the sense that you too are a flight nurse, but you just took a different path, right?
Yes, sir. So I've kind of done a collection of them all. I've done flight nursing, but we don't, in the Nurse Corps, we don't rate it as flight nursing. We call it en route care, and that's on helicopters.
Okay.
So I figured I might as well go ahead and get my wings and get it official. And so now I can do flight nursing on fixed wing aircraft.
Yeah. You mean those things that vibrate so much that the earth rejects it?
Yes. That's
okay.
The one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So, what made you want to join the Navy, and become did you think it was going to be a flight nurse? Did you know about that? Or was it just, you know, something that was like, hey, I'm going to go be a nurse in the Navy?
So it was the latter. So I grew up near the Naval Academy, and I always wanted to be in the Navy.
Yeah.
As I was kind of going through high school and kind of deciding where I wanted to go for college, looked at the Naval Academy, but recognized that I would rather do something in medicine. And the more I looked at that, the more I realized nursing had such a variety of options in it. But the Naval Academy doesn't have nursing, so I had to apply somewhere else. But I knew, at some point I was going to join the Navy as a nurse and see if I liked it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
15 years later.
Yeah, 15 years later, I think you're enjoying and having a good time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, what made you want to get into the medical industry? What was that trigger?
So actually, it was September 11th. So I had kind of primarily been focused on animal care, veterinary medicine. At that time, I was a senior in high school. Dating myself, I know I'm 29 again, but I was, really focused on vet science, animal science. And when September 11th happened, I recognized that if that tragedy happened in the future, that I wouldn't feel like I could do enough as just a vet. Mm. Vets are wonderful. They do amazing things. But for myself, I wanted to be able to take care of the people that were injured and really be able to respond to traumas and crisis.
Yeah, no, that's a great vision and great goal, Caitlin.
Yes,
I like that. My daughter Caitlin wants to be a veterinarian too, so maybe she'll be a nurse.
Either one's great, sir.
Either ones are excellent. And Jeff, we're on a theme here right now. So we're talking about nurse's birthday and what they bring as the largest portion of the medical industry and what it means and their versatility. And you see in your career path, you have quite a versatile background. I'm going to dig into a little bit of that more, but I first want to get your take of what brought you into the Navy as a corpsman and eventually as a nurse.
So I was working at a travel agent before I joined the Navy and wasn't making any money, wasn't doing anything with my life. So I went and joined the Navy, came in as a corpsman. That was pretty much the only option they gave me. It was beginning of Desert Storm, so we need corpsmen. So I went to corps school, got out, hit my first command at Bremerton, Washington, working on the med-surg floor, and worked with a lot of nurses. Navy nurses, historically, our job is to train the corpsmen to get them ready to go out to fight. So worked with a lot of nurses, a lot of mentors, pushed me towards nursing a lot. And then one day they're like, so I think you're a little ADD. So I think you need to find a career field that you can do different things because you get bored very easily. And I think you should be a nurse because there's so many things that we can do in nursing. We can do direct patient care. We can do other clinical stuff. We can do executive medicine, case management. I mean, there's hundreds of different things. And in the military, we have our hands in every pot in Navy medicine. Some that we shouldn't have our hands in, but we still put our hands there. So that kind of drove me to that. Plus my mom is a nurse, so that was kind of a pusher as well.
You had some familiarity there.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so what people don't realize is how much nurses, not just, you know, by definition, your job and your position and your your oath is to provide care. You know, not, you know, doctors have their own, but nurses are, you know, what's the best way to characterize it from your career field?
So I just like to tell people that nurses, you know, we look at the whole of the patient and we provide comfort and care to them, you know, at all stages of their life. Physicians do similarly, but we, you know, we're there at the bedside 24/7. So we kind of have a different approach and, you know, we look at some of the things that got the patient to us and trying to work on getting them, you know, fixed up and not having that again. And like Commander Miles said, you know, really there's so much variety. You could work with sick people, you could work with healthy people, young people, old people, you know, there's no end to the options we have for our career field.
Yeah, the one thing there's something you said there that I realized I missed in the comment was comfort and care, but also it's, you know, you see them all the way through the process. There's a lot of other specialists that only see them at portions, unless you're a surgical nurse where you'll see them, if you're actually in there and you're part of the patient, you are seeing them from the beginning to the very end. Do you have something to say, Joe?
Yeah, so when I first started as a nurse corps officer, my first duty station was at Camp Pendleton, and I initially started working in the labor and delivery unit. So I was, you know, catching babies and seeing you know, life be brought into this world, and I immediately transitioned to the ICU, and I was watching life leave the world. So it was just a stark contrast between, you know, watching the whole entire gamut of the human experience.
How does that shape you as a nurse when you provide comfort and care, seeing that the birth and then the death?
I feel like it gives you a whole new respect for what it means to be human and how to, you know, connect with other people. It's a truly humbling experience being able to, you know, to be there for the biggest aspect or the biggest, you know, pieces of other people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I characterize this a little bit more, it comes to nurses, as I see, you know, we talked about the frontline care, you know, people working on the front line, but that's just only just a small segment of, I believe, that y'all execute. You look at Jeff's career field, he has expanded upon into the management side and the administrative side to make sure that the people that are on the front line are in the right place, have what they need to execute. But what got you into, was it just a natural progression of your career field, Jeff?
I think it was pretty much natural progression. NICU nurse by trade originally, so neonatal intensive care unit. And then when I transitioned out of Portsmouth to a different command, there was no NICU. So it was pretty much, you kind of get pushed this way. Once you hit a certain rank, you kind of get pushed to the admin side of the house. Like, even though Commander Workman here is operational her whole career, now she's the department head of primary care. So we've kind of pushed her to that route. So you kind of get pushed that route and it kind of just stuck. I like executive medicine. I like being able to make sure that the other nurses and the rest of the medical team have the needs that they need to have to make sure they take care of their patients and function in the Navy and the mission.
Yeah, it's amazing how that pendulum swings from being really, really specialized in what you do, what is your primary duty set, to swinging the other way, and now you're dealing with the things that you don't see on a day-to-day basis and making sure that they happen. Yeah, are y'all looking forward to that transition? What about you, Kaylee? Look forward to that operational to administrative transition?
I think she's fighting it. I'm just throwing it out there.
So as an 04, I'm probably one of the more senior persons still doing operational, still trying to hold on to that clinical aspect. It's definitely difficult in the nurse corps because, you know, we have so many positions that, you know, as the more senior you get, the more responsibility you should have because you have the experience for it. So I'm trying very hard to balance both of those and, you know, keep my fingers in clinical care and still be what I call still a nurse, you know, an active nurse.
So but how many times do you get told by the JOs to get out of the way and let's do our job?
Yeah. So you know what? They don't really tell me in my face, but I can feel the vibe in the room.
Josh would never do that.
No, Josh is great. Absolutely. I'm grateful for him.
Yeah. So you looking forward to that future of moving into administrative there, Josh, or are you going to get out? You're going to run away?
No, I'm staying in the Navy long term. Now that I'm entering the operational kind of aspect of my career, I really like being in the operational side of Navy nursing. So we'll see how it goes with 3rd Medical Battalion. But I kind of want to take the same pathway as Caitlin. I'd like to stay operational for as long as possible, and then slowly, you know, as I become a more senior lieutenant commander, work into what Commander Miles has been doing with his career. I do like nursing administration, but I want to take the time to do all the cool things that the Nurse Corps can allow me to do.
Great. That's a good answer. Sure. That's a good answer.
All right. So we're going to be back in a little bit. We're going to take our first song break. Here's by request, Rush with Tom Sawyer on 99.1 The Eagle, serving America's best. We're back with the CO show. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Lieutenant Joshua Jones, Lieutenant Commander Caitlin Workman, and Commander Jeff Miles from the clinic, as well as the commanding officer of Diego Garcia. And before the break, we were talking about you guys' careers and, you know, the nursing for Nurse Week. But now it's time for you guys to take control of the show. So if you guys want to add anything or talk about any stories or anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, what we want to get into in this part is a little, I guess, greater granularity of what your experiences were or are or how they're shaping you in the future, or going to shape you in the future. So for me, it's always about certain experiences that I've had in my career, either with people or in positions or anything else. But what has shaped you the most in your experience as a nurse? And you know, I'm not going to pick on anyone, but I'll go ahead and start with Josh.
So one of the things that shaped me most as a nurse was during the initial outbreak of COVID. So I was working at Portsmouth Naval Hospital as not a brand new ICU nurse, but I had just got there and I was working in the ICU. And then we got tasked out to EMF Mike, I believe it was, the one down in Jacksonville. And we were sitting there waiting for a mission. We'd been there for about 14 days, just waiting for a mission. And then about 10 o'clock at night, we get a call saying, hey, you got a flight at 6 a.m. You're flying to New York. The Comfort now has COVID patients and we need ICU nurses. So we flew into New York. We were out of LaGuardia, completely empty airport. Just a team of 24 ICU nurses waiting to go on to our next mission. We got to the ship at about 11 p.m. at night. And that night, they were getting their first influx of COVID patients. We had 36 COVID patients that were knocking on death's door because Jamaica Hospital in Queens lost all their oxygen support. So pretty much every patient they had there that with COVID on a ventilator was you know, knocking on death's door. That was the most harrowing night I've ever spent in the Navy. We were coding patients left and right. There was, you know, code blues going off. That means, you know, cardiac or respiratory arrest going off pretty much every 5 seconds. And it was just a constant battle for 36 hours to stabilize these patients. And when you're on a ship, we don't have the same resources we do in the hospital. So we don't have the same ventilators. We don't have the same IV pumps. So it was a struggle. And large population that we had didn't speak English. They were immigrant populations. So we were trying to communicate with them and their families with no interpreter services. So it was harrowing. And then, you know, we're there as those people, you know, leave this world and no family by their side and you're all they have. So they're squeezing onto you as they take their last breath. And, you know, you met them just a couple hours before. It made me want to be a better nurse, and it made me want to, you know, go out there and try to absorb all the knowledge I can and to be the most competent possible nurse I could be at the bedside for our patients.
Well, that's deep. I tell you, not many people have the resiliency and fortitude to deal with those kind of situations, and that's why y'all are a special crew. Because you have to deal with those upfront in your face situations all the time, and then you got to go home and you got to think about that and understand that the fragility of life. Look at me getting all theological now. But Kaylin, you did you have something? I see you're chomping at the bit, or
no? I mean, that you can't really like you can't touch that because that's definitely one of the things that nurses, you know, that's why we exist. That's why we're there. Those are really hard days. I have experience that definitely inspires me. It's a little more lighthearted than that one. I don't know. That was kind of heavy.
Josh is a dark individual.
Like, I know, that was good. I was very fortunate as a brand new nurse working in Memphis, Tennessee, because I had really good mentors that, unlike the, you know, the common rumor that, you know, nurses eat their young, I had great mentors, great preceptors, and I was really encouraged as a young nurse to, you know, kind of develop as a young nurse. I had the support I needed. And when I joined the Navy, one of the first things I got to do was go on the hospital ship on the Mercy and, you know, bring healthcare to people who did not have it necessarily or didn't have easy access to it. And I remember meeting some people that, you know, they traveled. We were in Indonesia doing a mission, and they had one person, they traveled 3 days from their home village just to come meet the ship for the opportunity to be evaluated and see if they could come get care on the hospital ship. You know, and I think that just gives you perspective on how fortunate we are. You know, yes, sometimes there's long waits. Sometimes, you know, people are having a bad day and, you know, you're there for that. And sometimes it's the staff that have a bad day. But really, we're so fortunate to have the access to care that we do. And we have so many resources. So, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, like Josh's story, I've had patients, you know, I've had patients that die and, you know, you're there for them. No matter who else is at their bedside or not, you're always there. Or the people that, you know, they just value so much of what we bring to them as healthcare providers. It makes you realize how important your role is and, you know, not to kind of push off. You know, make sure you're studying, make sure you're keeping up on things, and make sure you're giving them the best care that they possibly can.
Good mantra.
Yeah.
Nice.
And serious too.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, the thing is what you all do is very serious. You know, we're kind of lighthearted about it, but it's very serious business. I'll go an entire year in this job as commanding officer, but I won't be as impactful as you can to an individual life. So we all have to understand that people in your career field truly change people's lives as a whole.
Yes,
come on, Corman, what do you got?
So I think that, you know, yes, we change lives as we do, but the patient changes our lives as well. So when I first became a nurse, I definitely was not the touchy-feely nurse. That's just not me, for those who know me.
No.
Not at all. But so, you know, a little rough around the edges, but going to Haiti and, you know, walking on the unit on the Comfort that afternoon after we flew in and having three patients and going to work, and by the end of the shift having 60 patients, you know, mostly peds, some parents with their parents were with them. But watching these kids, especially the kids who are so resilient, watching them, you know, hoard food, and you say, why are you saving that? We've got plenty of food. I'm saving it for my mom or my uncle or my dad. When you know you had already got the report that they did not survive the earthquake. So that made me become a little more, you know, touchy feely, or at least be able to show my feelings to the patients, maybe not to everybody else, but definitely to the patients. And just gave me the opportunity to know that there are people there who we definitely need to provide holistic care to, not just direct medical care, but holistic care as a whole person, and look at that whole person, because there's more to getting and taking care of a patient than just taking care of the medical need. You got to take care of the spiritual need and look at the entire person to make sure that's going to be successful for them to recover. So just a very rewarding experience, very very sad experience, learned a great deal. So other nurses, NGO nurses, non-government official nurses who were there with us, and then saw a bunch of Navy nurses who really showed you that how to be resourceful. And I mean, you don't have certain things and you're rigging things up to make it work and getting patient care the best way that you can. So I think that's what the Navy nurse does. We're super resourceful and kind of bloom or grow where we're planted. So it's a super rewarding experience, which kind of made me a little more softer as a person as a whole.
Yeah, it sounds like each one of you have those experiences that shape you to be better each time, whether it's as a larger event or individual experiences. But what I'd like to also know is that as you talk about your experiences, how would you advise or mentor or say to a younger yourself or someone else that you're asking to come in and advising to come into the nursing industry, nursing corps, so to speak, what kind of advice would you give them in order to shape them and ready them for those events that require that resiliency and that shift in your own personality?
So a lot of times when I talk to, like I'll do the nurse candidate interviews and talk to people who want to come into the Navy Nurse Corps. And, you know, a lot of things that I talk about with them is, one, you have to love nursing. You have to love nursing because at the end of the day, when, you know, it's messy and dirty and, you know, it's sometimes not a lot of fun, you're doing it because you love what you're doing and you're doing it because you, you know, are there to take care of the, you know, patients.
Did you understand what nursing meant when you started?
So I think I did. I'm one of six kids. I'm from a big family, so I've always kind of been a giver and a caretaker kind of in that role. Did I realize I'd be, you know, wiping as many, you know, bums as I don't think I realized that. I don't think I realized necessarily some of the challenges that you would have doing what you thought was right, but with the limited resources or, you know, the different colleagues that you have to work with to provide that care. I'm very fortunate. I think, you know, when I realized I wanted to be a nurse, I was on that path and, you know, I had a couple deviations here, had a little, what I call my life hiatus, but eventually got back to nursing and, you know, I always wanted to be a nurse. And since then I haven't ever strayed. I still want to be a nurse when I get out of the Navy, really enjoy it. But what I tell people is you have to love that. It's not just a job. Yes, it has good pay. And right now the travel nurses are getting paid buku dollars. But that's not what's going to help you get through some of the situations that you have to get through. For me, you know, telling my younger self, knowing that, you know, just time will pass, keep focusing on your goals and keep, you know, doing that. There's no right pathway. You don't have to do a cookie cutter and, you know, go straight from high school to college to what, you know, whatnot. As long as you have your goals, like keep working towards them. And then I think one of the other things I love to tell people that want to be a Navy nurse is Navy nursing is cool. Like you can be a nurse in any hospital, any clinic across the country. But you know, the things I've been able to do, I've been world. On ships. I've gone, well, 70% of the world is water, so they failed to tell me that. But I've been on ships, I've been on helicopters, I've been on planes. I worked at boot camp. I've worked, you know, I've just had so many opportunities to experience the world, meet amazing people. And that's something you don't get as a, you know, necessarily a community nurse. They get tied in with their community, so it's a different experience. But I think, you know, that's probably what's kept me in the Navy so long is there's one more cool opportunity and one more cool opportunity. That's why I'm here in Diego. It's one more cool opportunity to experience something different.
Did you hear that, Brandog? We're cool.
So if I had the opportunity to go back and, you know, tell myself or any new nurse or corpsman, kind of give them some advice. So I do a lot of mentoring with corpsmen coming into the MESAP program or looking to go into the MESAP program, and all of them come in with the same kind of tune. They have a defined plan for themselves that they want to be at step A, B, C, D, and E by a certain time in their life or career. And what I would advise them is just not to do that. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Be open-minded. Come into every experience you know, with an open mind and open heart, and try to learn everything that you can from that experience, because there's, like, you know, Commander Workman and Commander Miles have said, there's so many opportunities within the Navy Nurse Corps, and you don't know what you're going to like until you experience it. So, because I know a lot of nurses who have pigeonholed themselves into a role like a labor and delivery nurse or a surgical nurse, and they don't like it, and they don't know how to get out of it. So, you know, I would say to just to approach all these opportunities you have in the Nurse Corps with an open mind and let your career guide you instead of trying to guide your career.
Yeah, that's a good point. And when I think of your career field, I always think back of what are one of those careers where it's hard to do a day's work and then clock out. How do you all balance that ability to, because you're right there in the human aspect and watching, you know, one of the things I always wonder when you're dealing with, you know, life and death or emotional situations, how do you stay calm? And then also how do you clock out so when you go home, you're able to relax?
I don't think we really clock out per se, for that matter. I think we take a lot home with us. We carry a lot home with us. We, you know, you wake up in the 2 a.m. time, did I do this for my patient? Did I do that for my patient? But you know, we do have to set that boundaries to make sure that we are able to function, because if we don't, then we can't take care of the patient the next day. But I don't think we ever truly clock out. I think we're always kind of on duty in some sense of fashion to make sure that we're doing just what we do and taking care of the patient. So
how do you maintain your resiliency?
A lot of self meditation, lots of, you know, hanging out with, you know, people, making sure that you have your close knit friends, your family, bounce things off. I'm fortunate that my mom was a nurse, so I would call her quite a bit when I was a new nurse and just chat about stuff. And, you know, my dad would say, "Gosh, could you please get off the phone? I'm tired of hearing about what you did today at work." But that's a big part, is taking, you know, keeping other nurses, you know, close knit and making sure that you have that support, that nurse support, because they know exactly where you're at or where you're going.
I would also say we develop a sense of humor if you didn't have one, whether it was healthy humor or not healthy humor.
We
definitely, it's, you know, you have to have that balance of, you know, life is fragile. There has to be some humor instilled in it. Because otherwise, it'd be very serious.
Yeah, because you're dealing with some people that do some stupid stuff, right? Like jumping off of buildings, thinking they can fly.
You know, watch this thing. Yeah.
And then, honestly, social media has been a big respite for nurses too. There's so many social media like meme pages, and nurses, honestly, healthcare providers in general, have sometimes the most twisted and dark sense of humor. And a lot of the nurse meme pages, you can find the similar experiences with these jokes that are being put out there, and it just brings some levity to situations that normally are pretty intense.
Yeah, I could see that. So how do you stay resilient other than combing your mustache and buying watches?
So I would kind of mirror what Lieutenant Commander Workman and Commander Miles said. So you have to lean on your friends and lean on other people within the career field. Also, you know, I've had other difficult jobs that you kind of have to leave at the door. So over time, you develop a way to just kind of compartmentalize your life. And while it's difficult, you do have to learn how to compartmentalize your work life and your personal life, because if you don't, it will what happened at work will drive you crazy at home. So I definitely have learned to compartmentalize. I think that's how I've been able to stay, you know.
Do you have any specific kind of things you do?
So I leave things at the door. I know a lot of nurses say that can't leave it at the door. As soon as I walk out of that ward, I shut my brain off from what happened at work that day. Because if I don't, I will drive myself crazy at home. So I don't talk about work when I get home. I don't bring anything up to my wife. I don't talk about it with my son. I don't talk about it with my parents. I leave it at work, and then I talk about it with, you know, work colleagues when I get back to work if it's bothering me. So I do. I compartmentalize that way.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, because a lot of times when I mentor young officers is be very careful what you bring home emotionally, especially if you're constantly bringing home the negativity of your job, because next thing you know, that filters into the family, and the family then hates your job as much as you, and you don't hate your job, you just hate the negative aspects of your job. So you got to be able to get home and have a relief. And you can't have relief if you bring your negativity home. So that's a great point, Josh. So we're coming to the end here. Any final comments or shout outs you'd like to give either to family, friends, or local?
All right, so I wanna like hog it. I have three quick shout outs. So first off, you know, obviously my mom was a nurse, so shout out to my mom. My wife's a nurse, my daughter's a nurse. So shout out to the nurses. And then to the nurses on the island. So it's not just us on the island that are nurses. So we've got two at the Boss Clinic and four or five at Thunder Cove, which happens to have more staff than we do. But we all do different things. You know, the Boss Clinic, that's that day-to-day primary care, keeping those people healthy. Thunder Cove nurses, they work, you know, do some holistic stuff in probably the most difficult environment that we have on the island. Then we have what we do. And I've seen these two nurses here in action recently, and it just really warms the old man's, you know, not so warm heart here to watch what they've done. And it almost makes me a little jealous that I didn't stick with that route, that clinical route, because what they've done for this recent patient was just basically, I mean, amazing, the work that they've done. And then while they were doing it, they still were teaching the corpsman. So they were still taking that time to do that Navy nurse role and teach the corpsman. And then the last thing is a shout out to anybody who wants, any junior enlisted who wanted to go to nursing school, I highly encourage it. It's a wonderful route and a, just a overall rewarding career that you definitely would not be sorry at. especially if you stay Navy nursing.
Could set it better, Jeff. Great.
Just going to give a quick shout out definitely to our corpsman. You know, you are one of the reasons why I am a Navy nurse and why I stay in, because that is something we don't have on the outside. And it's made a difference in every aspect of my career. So really grateful for that. And also for all my friends and that are all stationed overseas and deployed right now. You know, you guys are, it's hard to be overseas. It's hard to be away from community. But I know everyone's, you know, doing the best they can and you're taking care of each other. So really appreciate being part of that community.
Yeah, I kind of like to mirror that. So I wanted to shout out to the corpsmen. They are truly the backbone of Navy medicine. They hold it down pretty, you know, all over the world, regardless of the platform that we're serving on. And the corpsmen here are fantastic. We, our clinic would not function properly without these guys and gals. They're doing an amazing job all over the, here and all over the world. I want to send a shout out to my family back home. You know, all of us here, you know, that have families and stuff like that. It's always difficult leaving them back home, and definitely makes it a lot easier having their support, and you know, knowing that our time here is coming to an end. And then all to, you know, just to nurses around the world, this last 3 years have been so difficult for you know, society and for medicine in general. And nurses in the medical field here have kept, you know, everything right on track and prevented, you know, massive loss of lives. So just to everyone in the medical field, keep doing what you're doing. And it's been a ride.
Well, you stole my thunder there, Josh. That's okay. No, really, I want to echo what you just said. I want to shout out to all nurses out there, either in the Navy or outside the Navy. I know I have some family members and some friends, neighbors out there that are helping every day. And this was a great opportunity to learn more about the Navy Nurse Corps and to give out that appreciation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for joining us. For now, we're going to get straight back into the music. Here is, by request again, the Bee Gees with Staying Alive on 99.1 The Eagle, serving America's best.